Okay, I'm going to read from John chapter 6, starting in verse 1. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him, because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force and make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. So I want to draw out one of the major themes that I think that John is underlining in this passage, and that's the theme of the Exodus. So you may have noticed, but I want to underline about, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12 ways in which John is reminding us of the Exodus from Egypt, and by reminding us of that, commenting on what Jesus is doing. So there's all kinds of things. Let me just go through them. Well, first, let me mention that this is taking place during Passover. And there are 3 Passovers in the Gospel of John. The first one is in chapter 2, and then this one, and then the one that involves the Passion Week at the end. So there's 3 Passovers. And each of those Passovers sort of comments on the original Exodus in its own way. So here are the comparisons. Just as Israel crossed the Red Sea while they were trying to escape Pharaoh, Jesus and his disciples cross the Sea of Galilee to escape the leaders that are in Jerusalem. It's interesting that he says they went to the other side of the sea. You have to go 50 or so miles before you get to the Sea of Galilee from Judea and then cross it. But I think he's evoking the crossing of the Red Sea to escape from slavery in Egypt. Just as Moses performed many signs in order to persuade Pharaoh and hopefully change Pharaoh's heart, Jesus performs signs, and it says that the people followed because of these signs. So there's signs in both. In the Exodus, Moses goes into the desert. He leads Israel into the desert. God leads them, and then he goes up the mountain. And Jesus, likewise, goes up a mountain, evoking that same moment. In multiple ways and at multiple times, God tested Israel in the wilderness. And it says specifically that Jesus said the things that he said about where should we get bread for all these people to test his disciples. So there's that theme of testing. Moses is called a shepherd of Israel, and he leads the Israelites as though they were a flock of sheep, and he was their shepherd. And it says that there was much grass in that place in the John account, and Jesus instructs his sheep to recline. So there's a theme there. In Exodus, Moses organizes the people of Israel for the purpose of judging and hearing issues that they have to judge. And Jesus instructs his disciples to organize everyone so that he can feed them. In Exodus, God miraculously feeds the people of God with manna. It's a miraculous feeding. And here, Jesus miraculously feeds these 5,000 men. It doesn't say how many women. And I would note, too, it looks to me, as you read the account, that it wasn't clear that there was a miracle going on until the baskets were gathered up. Maybe the disciples knew it, but it's not as though Jesus stood up and said, "Hey, guys, I'm going to do this great miracle." He did it very quietly, if you will. In Exodus, there are 12 tribes gathered around the tabernacle. And here, Jesus says, "I want you to be sure to gather up all the extra," and they are gathered up into 12 baskets. This is a specific reference. Moses said in Deuteronomy 18 that God was going to raise up another prophet and that Israel should listen to him. And at the end of this section, the crowd specifically, they saw the miracle of the loaves, and they acknowledged that Jesus is the prophet that is coming into the world. So there's a very deliberate reference to the Exodus. Israel, in many ways and at many times, was impatient for Moses to meet their needs and their desires on their timetable. Right? They complained. They always wanted things to go their way. They were very upset when they didn't. And the crowds want to make Jesus a bread king. Essentially, it sounds like they think, wow, here's a free meal ticket. No more struggles for us. No more trials. Man, let's make this guy king. And notice that it says they wanted to force him to be king. So again, I think John is very deliberately, and Jesus himself is very deliberately showing us all kinds of ways in which we have the Passover going on, a new Passover. And so let me draw out 4 points from all of that that I think would apply to us. The first is this: the Passover is about freedom. And Jesus wants to set God wanted to set Israel free from slavery to Egypt. Jesus wants to set us free from whatever enslaves us. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's the fear of people, he wants to set us free from that. If it's sin, he wants to set us free from that. If it's the fear of death, if it's the devil, he wants to liberate us from all of those things that that hinder us and bind us and enslave us. Notice how much the Exodus was about God's compassion. He heard Israel groaning in slavery, and he said, "I understand, and I'm going to do something about it." And likewise, Jesus came, but he came to bring about a much bigger Exodus. The whole human race is enslaved in all kinds of ways, and he came to set us free. And whatever we are groaning under right now, I believe Jesus wants to set us free from. Whether it's bad attitudes, temptations to sin, anxiety, Jesus is the Passover lamb, and he came to set us free, and I think he wants to set us free. The second thing is that he tests us. Now, we learn in other places in the New Testament that God never tempts us to sin, entices us to sin, but he does allow things to happen to test our metal, and as it says in the Old Testament, to show us what is in our heart and to see what is in our heart. And one way of getting at this is just to ask, what's come out of your heart during this difficult time, this time of the virus? What has challenged you, and what kind of stuff has come out? Those are things that God allows to test us, to show us what's in our heart so that we can go in a different way. And notice as he tests the disciples, one of the disciples says, "Well, 200 denarii is not going to be worth it." But another one says, "Well, here's 5 loaves and 2 fish." What I think God would say to us is that he doesn't need much to work with. He doesn't require much. If there's the barest bit of a spark of, "Man, I don't understand how God is going to help me. I don't understand how God is going to set me free from anxiety," or "I don't understand how God is going to set me free from this bitterness." But if there is just the slightest bit of anything in our hearts to work with, if we'll just say, "Lord, I don't have much, but here's this," he can work with that. And I think very often he works even when we don't have the slightest bit of faith, because he can. But I think it would challenge us that one disciple at least said, "Well, this is Jesus, and I don't know, he did that with the water and the wine, so maybe he can take this modest thing that I have and do something with it. The third point is that Jesus always, here in the gospel, but always, provides wine, water, bread, whatever we need, whatever the occasion calls for, that is a need, he provides for it. So at the wedding feast, he didn't need to, but he provided this wine. He tells the woman at the well he can provide living water. And here, he provides a miraculous meal. But we're going to learn in the later section that the meal is a sign. Food is a sign. We need daily food. But that daily food is a sign of a much higher food that Jesus is trying to draw these people to. But the point is, do we believe that God will give us everything that we need for life and godliness? There is no circumstance in which we can find ourselves that he will not give us what we need for life and godliness. Not for comfort and ease, but for life and godliness. And that brings me to the last point. What we're going to find out is the people will see this miracle and say, wow, let's make this guy king by force so we never have to work again, so we never have difficulty in trials, so there's never anything again in our lives that we have to complain about. So the people stumble at Jesus. They fail to see what the sign is pointing to when they try to make Jesus fit their desires and not their needs. He comes because he knows there is a hunger in the human heart for spiritual food, for spiritual bread. And he gives us real hunger to be a pointer to that deeper hunger. But they stumble, and all they want is the natural desire to be met. He's interested in the natural desire. We should meet it, but he's calling them to a higher desire. And notice here in the wilderness, he doesn't give them filet mignon. He gives them bread and fish. He gives them what they need, but not excess, not something that's super pleasurable. And I think that we are often far more in tune with what we want than what we need. And I think Jesus would say, will you trust me? Will you come along a little way with me and trust me to give you what you need, not necessarily what you want, but actually when you get what you need, you'll find out it is really what you wanted. Does that make sense? That it is food for our hearts that we didn't know. And among other things, we need trials. Jesus apparently thought the disciples needed these trials. They needed maybe these failures even in order to understand the way that Jesus was working. And we need the bread that Jesus wants to give. But again, he allows all these natural things in our lives, thirst, weddings, water, a need for food, to point to these higher needs. And then he says, I am what you need. I am the one who satisfies, and I am the one who will give you everything you need. So let me pray. And ask God to really help us be a people that can respond to the things that he does in our lives to provide for our needs. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came to set us free. And Lord, we just confess that the human race is enslaved to the fear of death. And that causes us to go after so many things that are not what we need, but they're what we want. Lord, set us free. Lord, be the true Passover lamb that sets us free and brings us into the freedom of your children, God. Lord, we thank you for testing. God, we ask that you would help us to trust you in the testing and allow you to show us what's in our hearts and turn when what's in our hearts is ugly and offer up the smallest fragments that we have that you might do something miraculous with them, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you provide everything we need for life and godliness. Jesus, you are the bread that comes down from heaven. Lord, you give us living water. And Lord, we thank you that that promise is true. And then, Lord, we just acknowledge that if it were up to us, we would make you into something you're not. And Lord, we ask that you would help us. Lord, we ask that you would help us to receive from you living water and the bread that comes down from heaven, God, to receive from you true life. And we bless you and we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.